Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It is Coach Chris from the Play in Faith podcast. I am psyched. We got another awesome episode. We are going to talk leadership and how to build it inside your program with Andy Barker, the head football coach over at Triton. They're doing some pretty incredible things up there. So how's it going today, Coach?
Going well, man. Thanks for having me on. It's interesting when you reached out or we kind of connected. I'm like, man, I'm not sure how much I can bring to this party, but
Oh, you
I'll
got
certainly
it.
give it a good effort.
No, you got it, man. You guys are doing some really, really cool stuff over at Triton. And so before we get into all of that stuff, we're catching you kind of at a good time because we are preseason, but it is spring workouts and we're getting ready to go into summer football season where true champions are made, right? Friday, the hay's in the barn. This is when we get to work. So tell me a little bit about what you guys are up to now and just maybe some expectations for the upcoming season for Triton.
Yeah, we are we're right on the tail end of the open spring session. Turnout wise, man, we're being a 1A school, and for your listeners outside of the state, I mean, we're looking at 300-ish kids, and you know, from 9 to 12, and so
yeah, it's crazy.
And they're busy. We got baseball players. Our baseball program is doing extremely well. I think right now we're ranked number 2 in the state.
Yeah.
And I help out with those guys more on the junior high side than the high school side, but involved in that. We got a bunch of our kids run track for us. So workouts have been good. The intensity behind them have been really good. Much to my surprise, our biggest turnout's actually been the junior high. We have a lot of 6th, 7th, and 8th graders coming to these workouts because I think they're excited.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine you guys had a heck of a season, right? I think I've had the Bremen athletic director on as well. So, sorry, buddy. So I believe you guys clipped them for the first time in like maybe since either of us have been alive. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, to my knowledge, it was our first home win against them in 50 some years.
Holy cow. I'm getting up there, but I'm not 50 yet. So.
Yeah, no, me neither. Thank you very much. But I think we have knocked them off a couple times at their house within that 50-year span. But I always kind of joke, you know, that they make it out to be a rivalry, and it's kind of hard to not have a rivalry if it doesn't go back and forth.
You got to hold up your end of the bargain. Yeah.
Now, our other programs obviously hold up their end of the bargain. So, yeah, it was fun. You know, my first year as the head coach here at Triton, you know, the thing that attracted me the most about our program was the administration. And I think you and I have talked about this before. And
you guys do it right.
I never had anticipated dipping my toe into the head coach position at the varsity level, but you know, being around the program and being around the people and the fact that our administration is a process-based administration as opposed to an outcome-based. And I know you as a leader, I'm sure you talk about that regularly where it's, you know, what are we really looking for as a program and then as a school, and then ultimately what's the goal for the kids and their philosophies and they're Christian, pretty openly Christian about what they just kind of, it was a really good mix. And so first year went well, we finished up 7-4. We kind of took a tough one there in sectional that we kind of broadsided us. But it is what it is. And that's why we play on Friday night.
Little fire in the belly for the off season. And
right.
I think one of the things that is a really good sign for your program and really a testament to some of the things we're going to talk about today, you know, from the leadership and the character side, when you've got 6th, 7th, and 8th graders beating down the door, that is a symptom of a healthy program and community involvement, right? So in my other side of my life, we do like a lot of corporate consulting, corporate training, and I'll have clients tell me we have a turnover problem. Like false. You have a turnover symptom. The turnover is evidence of a problem with leadership, communication, some other kind of structure. So the converse is true too. So that's a really good sign. And especially when you talk about being at a smaller school, a lot of our listeners go through that. I go through that in our program where Your top players, I guarantee you, your football coach wants them. Your track coach wants them. If a soccer ball bounced their way, they'd take them. If they had a hockey rink, they'd take them, right? Like the same five or six kids are probably good at everything. And so how do you balance that as you're getting into, you're coaching multi-sport athletes? How do you get what you need out of them and still kind of respect the fact that they are in baseball or track right now?
Well, I think it starts that, I was a multi-sport athlete. Now it feels like that was a lifetime ago, but I was. And so, you kind of remember back when you were going from one to the other. And at Triton, we're extremely multi-sport oriented.
Sure.
That's what we want our kids to be. And when I hired in my process, it was the same kind of answer. And so, for us, a little bit of that, ultimately, if I'm being open and honest, is that I'm still adjusting a little bit to that. In that,
You can't do a 2-a-day during track or baseball season, or they pay.
right.
Yeah, right. That's tough, right?
And in the same breath, if we as coaches and mentors and leaders are saying that we want these kids to be multi-sport athletes, but yet I want you to do all of my stuff,
Correct.
there's only so much time in a day. And then on top of that, the student part of student athlete comes first. So yeah, it's a little bit of an adaptation and just kind of understanding, look, these kids need to be in their sport when they're in their sport. And then, try to build in times for them to take a breath. And, I look at my own
It's healthy.
14-year-old. He's a football, basketball, baseball kid, and he's getting ready to, he's got one more game left in baseball, and then we'll roll into football here in a couple of weeks, and he'll be doing football and basketball during June. And so, it's the, I'm constantly checking in with him, like, hey, buddy, how you feeling? You still good? Because on top of all of that, he's still doing individual workouts for basketball and baseball and football, and then lifting at a different place and doing the athletic performance at a completely different place. And it's all stuff he's passionate about. And my wife and I want to give him all of the ability to succeed in his sports, but yet he still has to be a 14-year-old.
I think we're in the exact same space, and I had this conversation with two of our coaches and my daughter, like literally this week, because she's the same way. She's in 8th grade, volleyball player and a basketball player, probably a little better at basketball. Like we'll, be competing. Who knows what happens, but we'll be competing for a varsity spot. Probably playing some varsity ball coming up soon. But you've got volleyball off-season workouts. We've got basketball off-season workouts. We have conditioning. She plays on a OPS Elite travel team. So at one point we got to where we were 7 days a week, and she went to weight training the other day. She was literally the only kid at 8th through 11th who showed up. Her coach comes out afterwards. I'm joking. I'm like, do I owe you like $50 for a private workout? Like what's the rate, brother? But we kind of talked about like, hey, she's not going to be here tomorrow. Today is her 12th straight day with a sport. She's 4.0 student body president, takes her academics seriously, takes her church group or FCA responsibilities seriously. I was like, physically, she's tired. Academically, she needs a day. And they just laughed and they're like, she's not the kid we're worried about. Like, so it's a blessing though to have coaches who get it. And it's not necessarily what was going to take today's episode, but I think it's something that a lot of people are struggling with. The big buzzword now is we want multi-sport athletes. Oh, by the way, we have off-season workouts 5 days a week in all three of these sports. So what, right?
And this is what, we've started to have these conversations, at least around Triton, because now I am a bigger role within the system. And so, this is what I tell the kids constantly. As long as you're still in the weight room and you're still doing athletic performance, you're becoming a better athlete. Yeah, you might not be working with me on how to hit a down block or, how to fill a hole for a linebacker, but you know what? You're still getting bigger, stronger, and faster. And the way the mind is working, creating all of those connections and the myelin that goes on in the brain, like it, all that stuff still being created, it's just not being created specifically for my sport. And so I'm okay with it. I think most coaches at a 1A or a 2A level, at least here in Indiana, in one way or another, are okay with it. You always have the few
You
that
kind of
are,
have to be.
Yeah, and they really do, and because we're in the same situation, my son just got confirmed through the Catholic Church, so
Ah,
we have all
congratulations.
of these other things. It's not life is very much sports for my wife and I. However, it's
Oh
not the
yeah.
only thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So it's
Yeah. I mean,
like,
our life revolves around it. I will log about 11 hours in a car this weekend between my two daughters' practices, tournaments. So we get it, and I do think it's a topic that we need to keep talking about. Like, our school's a little larger, but I find that even more so on the girl side, perhaps even at a larger school, the pool's a little bit narrower. I mean, girl sports has certainly exploded in popularity, but doesn't have quite the same numbers as guy sports quite yet. So even at a 3A school, we're look, my five best basketball players are our best volleyball players. They'd be good at
sure.
just about anything, so we're all
Yeah.
kind of competing for them. And I do think a lot of her friends are starting to feel that unstated pressure. No fault of our coaches, but if I'm not here, do I get a spot? Am I going to get behind? And it
Yes.
is a lot on these kids. So, really having those conversations, listen to their bodies.
Yeah.
The injuries are certainly getting more
Well,
prevalent, and a lot of it's overuse.
and I think a little bit of it, kind of falls on us as the head varsity coaches specifically, right? Because
Yeah.
we should be driving the culture of our program, hopefully from top all the way down. But then to let a kid know that, look, I would love for you to be at all of my workouts, but reality says that you can't be at all of those workouts. And that's okay. That is not going to affect your status on our team or your spot or your position.
Right.
As long as you're making a legitimate effort, not just putting up, roadblocks because you want to go swimming in your buddy's pool
Right.
with
And
someone.
you know the difference, right? Like,
Yeah.
the kid that is like, look, this kid's working 20, 23, 24 days a month. They're involved on campus. They're taking care of themselves. And the kid who's just like, oh, they said it's optional. Because I got to be careful when I get on this topic, because there's a video of me that I think we're up to about 50,000 views on, where we talk about optional versus mandatory. It started as just a pregame pep talk for my team, shared it with a few people, and the next thing you know, kind of caught on our YouTube channel, where I was like, yeah, it might be optional, but like, we're reaching an age where everything in life is optional. Now, the consequences of those options start to become more dire, but there's nothing in life, truly nothing, that is mandatory. It's all a choice. So what do you want for yourself, right? So, and you can tell the difference between the kid who's looking for an out. I think with football, it's a little different, right? Because I don't know if you know Coach Stoner down at Fairfield. We've had Corey on. We've had a couple other like football coaches come on and chat with us. Football's not quite the same year round that travel baseball, travel basketball, or even travel soccer, volleyball are. It seems like it's a lot more common that football players have a second and or third sport. A lot of times with the other sports that have the crazy travel circuit, you got to start making some choices. So I'm just curious. So in your just perspective, there's no right or wrong answer here. About what age, if your son came to you and said, "Hey, Dad, I'm ready to start narrowing it down," about what age would you sign off on? Like, okay, if there's one sport that's really speaking to your heart, and this is what we want to do post high school, maybe it's time to start getting a little more year round with it.
In my mind, I've, and this is purely gut, and
Yeah.
I've always said sophomore year. If you've completed your
Same here.
sophomore year doing your three sports or whatever,
Yep.
and let's say, heaven forbid, my son becomes an excellent baseball player, and quite honestly, it's probably his best sport right now, whether he'll admit it or not.
Another
And
football
the
coach
end of
Dad
his,
wants to admit
yeah, you know,
it.
the end of his sophomore year, he looks at me and says, "Dad,
Yeah.
my goal is to go play baseball." And if he's making that decision based on good intentions and all of those things, I would certainly support it. I would also quickly, though, tell him that Aaron Judge was a three-sport athlete, an
Yeah.
all-state in all three of those sports.
Yeah, Tom
So I
Brady
feel
was
like
playing
if,
baseball all the way through, like all those guys, man. Almost every
if
NFL
one,
quarterback was a excellent high school baseball player. They seem to go very hand in hand.
yeah, I mean, if one of the best hitters of all time could play all three sports through his high school career, I feel like
Yeah.
our kids can,
Yeah,
and that's all it's
he had a
worth.
little advantage though. I think Judge is running around at about 6'8"
Yeah, he's like
at
6'7".
the time.
Yeah, he's crazy.
I think he'd probably take him on the line or tight end
No
or
doubt. No doubt. He could have been one of the best tight ends probably in the history
Oh,
of the NFL.
it's unreal. It's like when you watch LeBron too, and you're like, people are like, he couldn't have played football. I'm like, you don't think a 6'9", 260 pound dunk from the foul line space alien could be a decent tight end? Like, you are
He's another tight end
insane.
type for
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, no
right.
doubt.
So yeah, we've had that conversation too, where I mean, I think, with my older daughter right now, that it's two sports and she's really into them, but we know basketball's probably more where she's going to be, and who knows what she ends up doing in high school, if she's good enough, if she's interested. None of that matters to me. I just wanted to have a good time and learn the right lessons. But I told her, I said, I think you should absolutely do both. I said, look, we get to the end of your freshman year and you have a good freshman year and you want to play on a little more high level travel team. Great. We get to the end of your sophomore year and you say, Dad, I think I do want to do this past high school and I think I have the ability. Then maybe we make some other decisions. But if it's the sport's something you just love and want to play in high school, I'm like, let's pick up a third. Grab a tennis racket in the spring. Go high jump. Like, live it up. But yeah, I definitely, anything younger than that to me is just tragically too soon.
And it's unfortunate. I was just over at a friend's house this last weekend for a cookout, and they have a daughter that's an exceptional young athlete. And she's not going to play soccer next year. Now she's going into eighth grade. But she told me in a side conversation that she was just burnt out.
Yeah. Oh,
So
I get
you're
that.
seventh grade and you're burnt out because you've been playing all year round, which is another reason I'm such a multi-sport athlete believer, because even as much as I love football, by the time I was done with football, I was ready to go wrestle. And by the time I was done with wrestling, I was ready to go run track. Like, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It gives you that breath
No.
away. You're still doing athletic stuff. You're just not doing it one thing all year round.
Yeah, and you learn to compete, and so
Yeah.
I mean, I really, it just needs to be driven by the kid, and you find the love and passion for it. And no matter the sport, you're developing what we always say in playing faith, right? It is an unbelievable dress rehearsal for life, whether that career ends in middle school, JV, varsity, college, or blessedly beyond. There's not a day that goes by that this ministry, my other four businesses we own, is not greatly impacted by playing sports. And trust me, no one's Googling my highlights, right?
Yeah, no, me
like
neither.
it wasn't athletic glory that paved the path, but it wired the brain, and every thought and passion is through that lens. So one of the things I think you guys are doing really well, as we kind of transition a little bit, is every coach talks about wanting a player-led team and wanting leaders, and we all say the right things, but the truth is, unless we're very, very, very lucky with just this magical kid, leadership is intentional and culture is very, very intentionally built. So I know Triton is doing a lot of things. So tell me a little bit about some of the leadership opportunities you all afford your athletes and how you go about really building player-led teams.
Yeah, so it's probably, I think we've talked a couple times. This is the single most passionate topic for me, because I just love the culture, the leadership, that type of topic. But to your point, more than words. And so I inherited a football leadership council. It had just started. They literally only had the 1 year of it. I would have started one regardless, because it was always something that I had in the back of my mind. If I ever did take the helm, this is the direction I wanted to take it. And so I inherited them. I'm not 100% sure how they were selected before I got there. I think they kind of just showed interest, and then a couple of the coaches decided, okay, these are the boys that we would like to have, and typically for us, they're juniors and seniors.
Makes sense.
And so, like right now, we have six boys. Three represent the senior class, three represent the junior class.
Is that intentional? Like every year it's three and three, like to so
It
you have the
is.
continuity or okay, sure.
Yes. And so, they'll naturally be that rolling process, and that's the goal. I'm not saying that if we didn't have four exceptional juniors this next year, that I would have added a fourth one on.
Yeah, sure.
But there's really no number in particular. It's just fit. And what that looks like. Have they earned the right to be inside of the circle? Because it really is an inner circle, if you will. And so, for me this year, it's a work in progress. We did an interview process. They had to apply for the job. And then we did an interview process. It was me and then one of the members on my coaching staff, which actually has been on your
Steve?
podcast. Yeah, Steve Walken.
Yeah, Steve Watkins is awesome. Great guy.
Yeah, he's our SRO, so he helped. And then I had one administrator come and help. For a couple of them, it was our vice principal, and then for a couple of them, it was one of our counselors. And so it wasn't just football guys talking about football stuff. In fact, we didn't ask any football questions.
Really?
Just simple questions.
Like what? What would you like? Because I mean, I think the reason I asked that is I think very often in leadership roles, and we do it in corporate America too, the guy who has the most sales becomes the sales manager. Doesn't mean he can lead, doesn't mean he can communicate. So the kid who runs the fastest or scores the most points becomes the captain of the team. Not always the way we should be looking at leadership. So what are some questions you're asking that go beyond just, okay, this kid's good at football?
Well, and you're right, and that point actually extends even into my world, and we hadn't really talked about it, but my real job is the Indiana State Police, and so we have super high performers out on the road that can crank out some great numbers, and then they ultimately get looked at first for the next step, and it's a 50-50 shot whether they're going to work out as a great leader or not. So yeah, so question wise, for the super simple is the first one, what's leadership mean to you? What's that look like? And you might imagine you get high school kids in there and they're nervous and
It's a
it's not
hard question to
intended,
answer.
right? It's not intended to be nervous, but it's just, okay, part of it's the question, part of it's about what your body language is and how you're going to respond to that question. And so and again, that's my background, right? Just it's all body language. It's the words they're using. It's how they're using them. It's the eye contact. It's just, you just try to take it all in and then let them go from there. And then we ask, if when you're put in a tough situation, how do you work yourself through that situation? And so it's more the thought process. Are you evaluating what's going on? Are you trying to make a credible decision based on information? And if you don't have information, are you comfortable going out and finding that information? Because some of it's just, hey, I got to lean on the guy next to me, and that's okay.
It's actually probably preferable, isn't it?
And then we kind of get into how are you going to feel when you have to make a disciplinary decision? Because last year I had the leadership group help with discipline.
That's what I was going to ask. So is this something they obviously head coach has ultimate purview and ultimate say? We're not running just a wild like Lord of the Flies situation here, but I mean, so are weighing in on like without violating any confidence or privacy? Is there could you give me like an example of a situation that your kids have been in? Obviously, no names or anything dramatic, but I mean, because that's pretty weighty for a 16, 17-year-old young man. With their peers who are, especially to school year size, probably their lifelong childhood friends, that's
Yeah,
not
they are.
easy at that age.
Yeah. No,
So,
you're absolutely
yeah.
accurate.
So, what's that? What does that look like? Because I think that's really fascinating.
Yeah, so when I took it over, the one thing that the previous council had for me was that they wanted to do more, but they didn't feel like they had the backing of the coaching staff. And so I pretty quickly changed that atmosphere just based on words and how I created basically a command type structure where, look, if you have issues, you can come directly to me. I have an open door policy. If you have issues that you think you need to come straight to me for, you can certainly can. But I would encourage you because in life we all have bosses and then they have bosses and it goes up and so forth. So each leadership council kid had a group of kids that he was responsible for. And then they would report to position coaches and then ultimately position coaches to me. And now the council always had direct communication with me. We've met frequently. But so to your question, so I'm big on keeping the locker room clean. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever read the book called Legacy, which it's about the All Blacks out of New Zealand. Really good rugby club, best on the planet. And so they call it sweeping the sheds. I came across the book after I started this whole locker room thing, but I walked through there one day, and obviously as troopers, we stress attention to detail, and I'm stressing attention to detail for these young men on lining up behind the line, or when I tell you to take a 6-inch step left, it needs to be 6 inches left. Like
Football is a game of details and
it
inches
is
for sure.
extremely. And so I walked through the locker room one day, and there's just stuff everywhere. And I pulled the council in and said, "Look, boys, this has got to be fixed." And so they gave it their shot, and they got it close, but not clean. And so then I let the whole team know, "Look, this is the expectation." And then they got it close, but not crazy attention to detail. So then, they physically paid on a day. Doing some, we call them burpees. So
A
yeah,
little extra exercise.
little extra exercise. And so after that though, it was great. However, we had one senior member of the team, that refused to hold up his end of the bargain. And so everybody else was compensating for him. So basically they were cleaning his stuff up. And finally, one of the leadership kids came to me and told me what was going on, because every night I'd walk through the locker room and inspect it. It looked great,
So you don't know, have any clue, right?
right? So I was not aware, and so I'm being informed this, and I said, "Okay, well, what do you think the punishment should be?" And he's like, "Well, I'm not sure, coach." I said, "Well, you tell me. Should it be a physical punishment, or do you need me to have a conversation with him? Have you had a conversation with him yet?"
That's a great question.
And he said, "Actually, no, I haven't." And I said, "Okay, well, we're going to start with you having that conversation," because he was our he of all the leaders on our team, he was the one.
Sure.
And so he had a conversation with him, and it was fixed for a couple weeks. Well, then old habits die hard, right? So now he comes to me again, and now I've got to get involved. And so we pull him off, and this leader's with me in this conversation. And I said, "My understanding is this has happened." And the kid admitted it right away. At least he owned it, which I told him that I appreciated.
Respect that, yeah.
And said, "Look, your leader here has asked you to clean the locker room, or at least your portion of it, and you haven't done so." And I asked him why, and he's just like, "Just being lazy, coach." I'm like, "Okay." And I said, "Well, what do you think your punishment should be?" And of course, they're teenagers, right? They want to please you, but yet they also don't want to say more than they should.
No, you have to be accountable, but don't really want to take that step. So,
Right.
okay.
So ultimately, he ended up, he had to take care of one of our bays for a
Okay.
week. That was his responsibility. And to my knowledge, after that, we stopped having issues. We never had to go any further than that. But
Yeah.
that's tough, right? As
Very.
because the leader had to come to me, and then he confronted him, and then we ended up confronting the young man together. And those are tough situations, because to your point, like, these guys have known each
Is.
other almost their entire lives.
Oh, it's such a different dynamic. I mean, you see it all the time in the workforce when you go from being part of the team to being in charge of the team, and how it changes those interpersonal relationships, and how do you manage that dynamic. And what I love about this story and what you guys are doing is, you got a great football program, better than average chance. Most of those kids, or all of those kids, are not going to cash a paycheck to play football. They are
Right.
going to cash a paycheck. Or maybe they're the one writing the paychecks for others.
Yeah.
But that lesson is a direct translation to a successful life that I just don't think you get anywhere outside of sports. But we've got to empower people to have that experience. And I mean, he's just going to grow so much from that. And yeah, I'm sure people at home are sitting here like, there's some people, if you're not an athlete or you didn't grow up in sports, you're like, what are we talking about here? No,
Yeah.
this is a big deal,
Yeah.
right?
The
This is a big thing to have to confront one of your teammates like that. So,
amount of character you build inside
yeah.
sports, I don't know if it can be measured, to be quite honest.
Agreed.
And I've spent a ridiculous amount of time in our off season coming up with what I'm calling our cultural ecosystem. Because again, I had inherited the team, and I didn't want to come in full throttle and just
I get it.
wipe everything out. In fact, I even absorbed some of their offensive stuff, X's and O's wise, in order to make that transition a little bit better for them, because the senior class athletically was exceptional. And I didn't want to ruin their chances of being successful during football season as we go through a transition.
Yeah, you've had a heck of a year. I mean, that was you had an excellent basketball season with those
Yeah,
guys.
we
I
went
think they
down and
went to
got
the
second in
final.
state.
I was gonna say they went to state, right? Yeah, they went to state, and then baseball teams having some success. So yeah, this class of 26, these guys are getting it done.
Yeah, they are. And they're special. And so I wanted them to be able to enjoy their senior year. I know there was some hesitation when I was coming in because I am a state trooper, and people typically have a vision of state troopers. And I think what they saw was a drill sergeant, or what they perceived was going to be a drill sergeant. In fact, I'm not even close. I mean, don't get me wrong. I will hold the line. I'll hold the standard.
Sure.
But as for yelling and getting all carried away, that's just not my thing. And so then when I do have to get loud, generally they pay attention. But so yeah, I spent this whole off season, and the idea was, to your point, the character. And so we've this year, in fact, I'll be rolling it out. By the time you put this out, we'll have
Yeah.
introduced it to the parents and the kids. But this
Awesome.
whole, the idea is, you're meant for more. So meant for more is the top of our pyramid. And then kind of how do you get there? And so our mantra is going to be, earn it, own it, live it.
Nice.
And so
It's
all of those
the
things.
2026 kind of team motto, right? Or if you will. So
And so
that's
that, I mean,
awesome.
this is the Trojan standard. This is what we're going to be. And so then our principles are character, attention to detail, relentless effort, grit, which is what I'm wearing today, ownership, and then family. And if one of those things is going to fall inside that category, and if you can earn it, own it, and live it, ultimately that's going to rise you to what you are, which is meant for more.
Awesome.
And man, I'm looking forward to it. It's been a labor of love. Even my
Love it.
wife and a couple of our friends, because I'll text them kind of what I've got going on here, and a poster that I've kind of developed for all of this. And so it kind of all came to a head last night, actually. But yeah, super excited about that. And just so then the leaders now, as we move into this next year, it's like we evaluate what we had and what we were doing. So my leaders ended up being the leaders of my lines. So you didn't, just because you were a senior didn't mean you got to lead a line. The leaders led the lines. And so those are the guys that, when you watch the football teams warm up, those are the guys that are in the front. And it's not all, hardcore and making decisions like that. That they helped design. We did an alternate jersey last year for the home team, or for one of our home games. So they got to help design that. This year,
Fun.
they're helping design our shirt for the year,
Yeah.
which they've already picked the design for that. So there's some fun stuff too. We do a book study. Last year, we read Twin Thieves, which, if you're a coach and you're listening to this,
Yeah. Who's that by? Do you know the author?
Twin Thieves,
I don't know if I know that one.
Stephen Jones, Steve Jones, Steve
Okay.
Jones.
So we'll drop it in the notes. So I know it was a couple years ago you guys read Flock,
We did.
which is Tom Roy, who will be coming on very soon. So
Yeah, that's
he's the
exciting.
chaplain over at Grace. So yeah, I love that you guys do that. So I'm gonna back up just real quick with your kind of your pyramid, if you will. It's I mean, just classic excellent coaching and leadership goes all the way back to like John Wooden, like Pyramid of Success, and
That
Ted
might be where it
Lasso
came from.
for the casual crowd. I think Ted rocked that one out too on Apple TV. But so when you're developing that with some of your leaders, are they involved in that process, or is this something you guys like sit them down, kind of present to them, like, hey, here's where our team's going this year? Do they have some input in that process, or?
And unfortunately, not particularly in this one. Ultimately, I end up coming up with all of the phrases that each coach
Sure.
has. Like for me, it's attention to detail and attitude and effort and energy and, do the right thing at the right time for the right reason. That
Love
is
it.
our ultimate filter.
Yeah.
And you can alt if there's only I tell the boys, if there's only one thing you walk away from me with, that's it. Do the right thing at the right time for the right reason.
Love it.
Now, the way you come up with what the right thing is at the right time for the right reason, well, that's all your foundation, your character,
Sure.
where you came from, your family, and you and I have talked, you're a product of your environment, right? So
Oh, yeah.
I always say a pretty darn good place to start is the Bible. So like if you're really trying to build that foundation, that's how you ultimately come up with your decision-making filter.
It's a pretty good owner's manual for being a human being.
Yeah, it really
Even if
is, right?
you are not particularly religious, you're not going to object to many of the life lessons in there. It's
Yeah, no, you're
we're
absolutely
teaching it a
right.
lot of other places, whether you realize it or not. That's why I always say with our mentoring, like if someone comes on board and they want to be mentored by one of our athletes, they don't absolutely do not have to be a Christian. Our mentors are, but we're going to teach a Christian principles, but they
Sure.
also work, and you're
Yeah, I
going to
mean,
like them.
if
So,
nothing else, religion aside, it's just a
right.
really good set of principles to live by.
It
Like,
is. It, what's cool is like your leaders are going to start thinking through that lens too. And I love the idea of we've got all these foundational elements that go into it, but ultimately, what are one or two things? And it works even with younger kids. Like I coach at a younger level, and we had, our team was our non-negotiables, right? This is what we're going to be about. And the one we boiled it down to at the end was just simply, we lift each other up. And it was literal. If someone hit the deck, that was one of the first things we reviewed on game film. Like, yeah, I'd like him to get a foot on the sideline. I'd love him to be in help side rotation. I want us to make the extra pass. But my goodness, if one of our girls hits the ground and four of you don't pick her up, we've got a real problem. That's the one I'm mad at, right? And it just became reflexive. But then we took it a step further where it's not just physical. It's with our words, it's with our actions, it's with our body language, it's with our effort and practice. And really, we can simplify the complex through that lens of, is this action lifting up my teammates? And if it's not, then we need to correct it. And I think that when you have these really simple marching orders like you do, it gets pretty simple. Am I doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason? And the rest of it's going to take care of itself.
We
So.
I last year I introduced a book called Above the Line, and it's by Urban Meyer. So if you're an Ohio State fan, good for you. If you're not, I understand, I feel you.
Or
I'm
old
not,
school Gator fan.
but
Yeah.
yeah, or Gator
He's got some
fan.
Gator love too. My sis was a Gator when he was down there.
The book has some really good insights, and so you'd hear the boys every once in a while poking a jab. Hey, is that above the line? And so you know it's taking effect, whether they're saying it in a silly way or not. It's still sinking in, and to the
Yeah.
point where this year, as we roll into this summer season here in the next couple of weeks, every kid on the team is going to get issued a copy of Above the Line, and for our summer process. We are going to the leaders from each leadership, our leadership council is going to take a group of young men and they're going to go through that book on a book study, chapter by chapter. And so that way we all have one common language,
Sure.
coaching staff as well. And so then after they meet in these groups, then we'll have a discussion as a larger group, and then so on and so forth. And the goal ultimately, and this is what I told staff the other day, this year we'll do Above the Line, next year we'll do a different book, and so the goal is four books repeating. So our eighth graders that are coming in will never read Above the Line more than once, so that they have that their set of four, and so on and
Right.
so forth. And we'll see how it goes. Obviously, it's something
That's
I
awesome.
believe in. And like you said, none of my kids are certainly not Division I level football players.
Yeah.
And even I was pretty above average at football, and I played Division II and no aspirations of being a professional football player. So
Right.
how are we
There's not
making
nearly as
that?
many avenues in that sport either. Right, there's
Yeah.
not like 400 overseas leagues and
Right.
G
Right.
League and developmental league and so what are we really trying to accomplish here? And
Yeah.
look, winning is awesome. That is a very, very noble
Yeah.
and worthwhile goal. There's biblical foundation to run our race, to compete, to give it everything we have. But we're getting a heck of a lot more than a sectional trophy or, a couple articles in the paper, right?
Well, and when,
So
when the young men come back, or women, right? And they you can see that they've been successful.
yeah, it's the best.
We had two young men in the process to become Indiana State Troopers that I've coached in the past.
That's
So
cool.
now ISP is starting to feel the fruits of that labor, because whether it was me or one of my buddies that gave them maybe some inspiration to try that avenue, good
Yeah.
for them.
So I'm curious for all these young coaches out here, and as we kind of wind down, I always run long. I knew ours was going to win, run way over because I like
I feel like we
we're.
just started.
I know, we're speaking the same language, man. Like I like literally have gotten paid to talk about leadership and culture for like 20 years, and now I just get to do it in a fun way where we do it through the lens of sports. It's like a dream come true. But so one of the things that I think it would be helpful for coaches who say, you know what, this is exactly the kind of foundational strength that I want in my team, regardless of the sport or even other clubs or organizations that are saying, I like this idea. I also know my 14, 15, 16-year-old kids. And if I give them a book, they're just going to roll their eyes. They're going to groan. I don't get the vibe that you're having difficulty getting your team to buy in. So give us some tips like to get them to, it's one thing for a grown adult like us to set a vision and be passionate about it. It's another thing for young people to buy in and really sell the culture. Because ultimately, your team's going to behave how your best players behave, not how you and your coaches behave. So,
Right.
how are you getting them to, I'm going to read this chapter, I'm going to be here, and I'm in. Like, how do we build that?
Well, I'll admit to all that I try to cheat, and here's how I try to cheat. Most of the books that I'm going through all are on Audible or on Spotify.
Well, that's fine too, though, right? I mean, we're still getting
And
it. Yeah,
that's
that's fine.
why, right?
Yeah.
Because maybe a kid doesn't want to take the time to physically read three chapters. But if he's going from A to B on a bus, take 15 minutes of that particular trip and listen to those three chapters. The
Or
other thing
a
that,
2 mile run in the off season.
yeah,
Bang, let's go. Yeah.
the other thing I try to do is find books that aren't super thick. You know, these aren't 15 hour books. In fact, Above the Line is probably the longest one we will do. And it's not a story. It's a, you know, it's a nonfiction book. You know, unlike, we didn't even get to touch on the All Sports Leadership Council, which I started a couple
Oh,
weeks after
yeah.
football season
Love it.
started. And so we had young men and women represented from all of our sports represented in this particular one. And we did Lead for God's Sake in that one. And that follows a fictional high school basketball team. Amazing, amazing book with really good points. And so, you know,
That's
it's
a
a little bit easier when it's a story. You know, they're
great book. That's Todd Gongwer. So we had crossed
yes.
paths like 4 years ago. Todd, if you're listening, I'm still trying to track you down. Come talk to about this book. I'm not gonna ruin it, but yeah, I was moved in a way that like my wife is like, "What's wrong with you?"
Yes, it is
I'm
super
like
emotional.
emotional, and she's like, "What's wrong with you?" Who's this book?
Yeah,
It's fantastic though. It's
it takes you on a
yeah,
heck of a ride. And
it's
the
great.
good part about books like that, and Twin Thieves is very similar in that there's always going to be a character in these good books that the kid will relate to. And, you know, there's three or four or five different characters that have different sets of issues going on. And so the boys specifically will attach on to one of them that kind of emulates who they are and what they are. And you know, maybe they're having troubles at home with parents, and you never know. You never know what's going on in a young kid's life. And so you read these books that like, wow. And so then you're following this fictional kid through his life or her life, and then they solve these problems, and this is how they solve the problems. And so, man, it's tough. It's tough to get the ball rolling. If somebody really wanted to do this, I think it starts a lot with the passion of the leadership. It kind of bleeds down to, hey, this is the way. And in a lot of ways, it's still an experiment for me. We're trying really hard to build a culture that inside a culture that was already good. And so,
Well, you can tell your kids are buying in, and I do think a lot of times we sell young people really a little short,
yes.
where because we think of them as young, but like 13, 14, they know what they want. They may not have fully formed like adult ways of phrasing it, but I mean, we're flying out for spring break on vacation. I look over, and my 14-year-old daughter is on a plane. Just doing a full-fledged Bible study, and I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm working on an FCA lesson. We're working on a project for FCA leaders, and they're basically building like what you guys have built, like this leadership council. And I was like, oh, you're an adult. Not legally, but I was like, we need to just adjust the way we view our team. And it really changed the way I looked at like my 7th and 8th grade athletes. They're taking a lot more ownership and have a lot more goals than we may realize. So I mean, compliments to you guys for putting that out there. And I mean, what's cool, it becomes very self-sustaining in the ecosystem where you have juniors and seniors who are leading. They are going to have that almost awe and respect of the younger players who now want to be them in 2 years, who will have the respect of the younger players who want to be them. And next thing you know, like that's how culture, really is built, right?
Well, and you're seeing it, and unfortunately, you're probably going to end up having to edit some of this stuff out. But my son, my 14-year-old, was helping the high school before the season, doing some catching for him. Because again, we're super small community here, and we have a few absolute stud senior baseball players, and one of them didn't even play football. Two of them didn't play football, although I tried. They did not. Great, great young men, like to the point where I've told Drew, I'm like, if you're wanting to emulate seniors, these two are the two you should emulate. And so I'm gonna try not to get emotional here. He's a really good pitcher, and Drew pitches. And so he went over to, and I'll even say Braxton's the young man's name. He went over to Braxton and took a ball over there. 'Cause I said, just ask him, because apparently he throws a mean slider. And I said, he's a great kid, just go ask him. And so he walked over there with a baseball, and Braxton didn't blink an eye, man. He picked the ball up, showed him, talked about, arm slot and angle and how he released it. And I mean, every detail that you could possibly ask for from a pitcher. And that was a senior teaching that to an 8th grader. And
It's
that's
amazing.
gold.
I we've had when I originally dreamt this up, I was talking to people like you. I was talking to high school coaches, college coaches, athletic directors, professional athletes, and it hadn't crossed my mind to talk with high school kids. And then we had a couple, kind of referred my way or some just connections through like family, friends. And some of the most impactful, amazing episodes have been with 17, 18-year-old kids. And the impact that they have on my daughters, where they were as starstruck with a high school girl from Warsaw as they were when I had a 7-year WNBA vet on. They were much more, I'll have to say your name, and Jocelyn's going to be on here again. They were much more like, whoa, right? And like, and my daughter had like her OPS number. Now I'm probably gonna get in trouble for saying this one. And she just said it randomly the other day, like the why she picked that number. And she said, and it was like 2 or 3 years ago. And she's like, oh, that's Jocelyn's number. And I was like, wow. Like the and what I love about this mission is, well, I think we think that you have to be Steph Curry or Joe Burrow to have this kind of like ooh-ah or Caitlin Clark. No, I guarantee you those Braxton and the other gentlemen at Triton have that level impact on the elementary and middle school and even freshmen and sophomores inside Triton. We've had like volleyball girl Ellie Hepler came on from Warsaw. Like she's kids are idolizing her. Like she does everything exactly right. And we have so much impact through athletics. Not many other activities afford us that platform. And it's so cool seeing all these high school kids using it, not just to spread positivity, but also embracing their faith. That takes so much guts.
Well, and
And
that's where it's
then,
at. Like the adults. I mean, we relate to other adults, but the kids, they're going to relate to the other kids. And that's where the power of the culture that you and I have been talking about is when the seniors are teaching the rest and you're watching, that's when you've hit the button. And so the junior high participates in all the high school stuff. There's something about junior high age, especially boys. They're a little rambunctious at times. And so, when my all-state middle linebacker that hits like a
Freight
truck
train.
tells you to do something, the power of that is so much different than even me as the head coach telling him to
You're
do
just an
something.
adult who's supposed to tell him what to do. Like this
And
is,
so, when the all-state middle linebacker says get in line, mission accomplished.
So as we kind of wind down here, I always shoot for like 34, 30, 35. I think we're way over that. It's all good. So for all of those elementary and middle school young football players out there that are tuning in, or they're probably catching clips of this on like our Instagram or TikTok feed or YouTube channel. That's where a lot of our young audience lives. As they are getting a little bit more serious, it's no longer flag or peewee. They want to play big time high school football. What advice would you have for someone in kind of like that fifth, sixth, seventh grade age as they start getting themselves prepared to play high school football?
Man, I think the one thing I always return to is what's your attitude, your effort, and your energy? Because if you have that positive attitude, that ultimately dictates how your effort's going to look. And then that energy's positive. If you have a negative attitude, typically the effort's not very there. And then you just get this like energy suck that comes from being around that type of person. And I understand you're not going to have great days every day. Nobody does. I don't. I'm
Of
sure you don't.
course,
Like
sure.
the difference between those that have and those that have not are the ones that understand it's not a great day, but I'm still going to put on a good attitude and I'm going to put on a good effort. And then ultimately my energy comes with that. And I try to tell coaches the exact same thing, right? Like, what you say and do and your mannerisms are magnified in these young people's minds. I
Yes.
don't remember a lick of X's and O's that my little league football coach taught me, but
I
I
did
can
the
tell
same thing,
you
man.
how I felt around him. And some of these little league, and we didn't even go down that alley. It's like
Oh, that's another episode for
they
another
want to
day,
get
brother.
super strategic on their X's and O's, and that's great. Good for you, but I hate to break your heart. They're not learning that from you. They are learning the attitude, the effort, the energy. Are you polite yet hold a standard? Are the words you're using positive or are they negative? You can just feel that.
Oh, amen, man. I love the youth ranks. I have no idea if I'll ever do anything different someday or not, but there's something really cool about that formative age. And I would say my goal is to send them on to the next level, thinking and behaving and competing the way that we want. And the skill stuff, obviously is nice too. But
Well,
well, I thank you. Oh, go ahead, please.
I think I told you before, I always tell coaches, no matter what level, the only goal that you have is for that young person to want to play that sport next year. That's it. If you've done, and naturally we want them to learn some stuff along the way. Don't get me wrong. I'm not
Of course.
downplaying that. I am just upplaying your mission is for that young person to want to play their sport next year.
Yeah. And then the skill part is a big part of that, right? As we build some of that skill, they have more fun, they have more success, they
Sure.
have more confidence. But there's a way to do it, right? And it's another episode for another day, but I
Yeah.
would love to. One of the side effects of playing faith would be to prune out some of the behavior that I see in a very young youth ranks. Episode's going to come out right before yours. We talked about it for a while, just some of the insanity that you're seeing in fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh grade boys and girls games. But no, I agree with you that if we're doing things right culturally and we know our sport enough to teach it well, that stuff's gonna fall into line. But yeah, you can't have one without the other, man. You
No
really can't.
doubt.
So, well, hey, I appreciate you so much. I love what you guys are doing at Triton. We're definitely gonna have to come back and talk a little bit more sports and leadership. Hopefully you'll be playing football deep, deep, deep into the late fall, early winter this year. I know Triton is setting quite a standard here in Indiana. So, but thank you so much, Coach Barker. I really appreciate your time, and we're going to be praying for you and the boys down at Triton.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah, have a great season. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks for tuning in to the Playing Faith podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit playingfaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just a voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.